So do I go?
Oh, I didn't know that part.
This is worth repeating.
Okay.
This is worth repeating.
Live storytelling from Texas Public Radio.
The year was 1997. I was working as a private investigator and a bodyguard. I didn't bodyguard rock stars or athletes. My clients all had one thing in common. They were all scared to death. I bodyguarded women who had been beaten to a pulp and their husbands had protective orders. I bodyguarded children who the women thought that their husbands or ex-husbands might take them to Iran or Mexico. When a West Side mother called me and said she had two sons in the Texas prison system, one killed in a drive-by, and she wanted the other one kept alive through Christmas, I did it. That's what the kind of jobs I had to do. I worked for John Walsh in America's Most Wanted, hunting killers from the beautiful hills of Tennessee to the badass streets of Mexico. I'd worked for Inside Edition and some of the other shows, so it didn't shock me when I got a call in November of 97 from Hard Copy. They said a young boy had gone missing in 1994. Suddenly, 3 years later, he appeared in Spain. He said he'd been tortured. He said he had been sexually abused. He'd been beaten, and fluids had been injected into his eyes to change the color. He said he was made to speak with an accent. I located the mother of the family and the producer for Hard Copy and myself and a cameraman headed north of San Antonio. I was fortunate when we set up in the house to be able to sit where I could see a picture of the first boy missing in 94. And I could look this way and see a picture of the boy being interviewed. The boy in the picture had blue-gray eyes. The boy in the interview had brown eyes. I asked the cameraman to zoom in on his ears. Believe it or not, the ear is the only part of the human body that doesn't age. I knew that Scotland Yard had used the ears to identify people. When I got back to my office, I compared the ears and I knew at once I had an imposter. I picked up the phone and called Trinity University, the language school, and asked if it were possible for a person to hold on to their identity and their accent weeks after they had been captured. He reminded me that in Hanoi Hilton in Vietnam, when the prisoners of war were released, some of them did the gestures, they bowed, they had the high-pitched voice like the Vietnamese, but they lost their accents. I called the University of UTSA and asked for their ophthalmology school. I said, is it possible to shoot any kind of fluid into a person's eyes and change them from blue to brown? They said no. I knew I had an imposter. I picked up the phone and called the mother, the house we had left. I said, get out of the house. It's not him, he's a fake. She hung up. A few minutes later, I got a call from the boy in the house on the interview. He said, who do you think you are? He said, immigration has cleared me and given me a passport. He said, the FBI has cleared me. He said, who do you think you are? And he slammed the phone down. I called him back. I said, the question is, who are you? I said, if any harm comes to that family, I'll come for you. Okay, I picked up the phone then and telephoned the FBI. Agent Nancy Fisher, great agent. She said, Charlie, let me tell you, it's an FBI case. If you interfere, you can be charged with obstruction of justice. Unbeknownst to me, the FBI had hired a forensic artist and they had taken the measurements between the boy's eyes, the jawline, and the chin. They declared that he was who he said he was. I tried to talk about the ears, but when you try to talk about ears, people simply don't believe you. So I called a Frenchman I knew in Paris. I said, what have I got here? And he laughed and he talked down to me like sometimes Frenchmen talk to Americans. He said, it's obvious. He said, it's obvious. He said, you've got a French-Moroccan terrorist. Well, I hadn't heard the terrorist word. You didn't hear that till after 9/11. I said, what is he here for? He said, he's there to blow something up. He said, they've blown up things all over Paris. They're doing it as we speak. So I began to tail the guy. I began to follow his mother, and I followed him. I switched from covert surveillance to overt surveillance, hoping he would spot me, wanting him to spot me, and it worked. And I got under his skin, and I developed a relationship with him. He knew that I knew he wasn't who he said he was. It was a difficult time for me. My wife and I were under the pressure of worrying about what the FBI would do, worrying about what other people might do. We tried to call SAPD. They didn't even call us back. So we had our problems. But we went after him and we stayed after him. Eventually, his mother drove him by the John Wood Middle School, where he attended school, and he didn't recognize it. She called me in the middle of the night. She said, "It's not him, it's not him." She said, "He's got a baseball bat and he's gone crazy." So I made the scene, I went over there. I calmed him down. I got him off in a corner and I said, "Look, I know you're going through the pressure of lying and saying you're not who you are. Meet me tomorrow, I'll pick you up here and we'll man on man talk about it." So we do. I got my wife down the street with my gun. I carried it in an ankle holster back then, and I made sure when I met him, he saw my ankle was free, no weapon. So he would be calm and would talk to me. We sat down in the restaurant. I said, "Are you gonna tell me who you are?" He said, "I'm Frederick Bourdin, and I'm wanted by Interpol." Interpol is the god of the cops to me. I mean, if you're wanted by Interpol, what in the world have you done? He proceeded to tell me. I waited a good amount of time. I went into the restroom and called Agent Fisher. I said, "He just told me he was Frederick Bourdin. He's called the Chameleon, and he's wanted all over in Europe." She said, "Hold him, we're getting a warrant." So they picked him up. They captured him, took him in, and did the perp walk. A beautiful story transpired from all of this, and 4 years ago, a documentary was made. It won 38 awards, including BAFTA, the British Academy Award, and we damn near won the American Academy Award. We made the short list. It's a beautiful film, extraordinary film. It's on Netflix, and you can get it at Amazon, and I know you'll enjoy the story. Thank you.